Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes or so.
Plus, think another Drew beat.
This one sounds like a Drew beat. It sounds like a Drew beat. These are now we have the ear to notice when it's a Drew production. These are his custom made beats for the show now.
What are they called? Dreets? What do we need? Oh, some sort of name for them, you know? Mm. Doesn't sound quite right. I'm
Dreets.
Open.
Dreets. Hmm. Drewbies, because he goes by Drewby Nix.
Drewby Nix.
To mix from D Nix.
D Nix.
A mix.
Is that what you?
With,
by the way, would that have been your? Would that have been like your D-Nix? DJ name?
That wouldn't work.
If
out,
you
man.
Were a DJ at Mosaic on a Saturday D-Nix? Night here in Kansas City, would D Nix be your name?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Give us suggestions. 913-586-7965.
What would my producer tag be?
What would Drew's DJ
be? D-Nix. Uh-huh. We'll get to Drew Nixon's Pacers.
Even then, he's supporting the Knicks, not the Pacers.
We'll get to your Pacers in just a bit. But you asked Jake Eisenberg about Noah Cameron, because he continues to do something that nobody could have possibly imagined. He has been flat out sensational. I mean, as close to perfect as you can really be, your first five starts as a big leaguer. And, you know, we were taking a look at just even where the rookie of the year odds are. And it's kind of, it just tells you how difficult it is as a pitcher, because so much of the talk has been about Cags, and, you know, he's now down to 11-1 to be rookie of the year. Jacob Wilson of the A's continues to play very well. Hit a home run yesterday, I think. He's now -420. Noah Cameron was 50-1. Then yesterday dropped to 35-1. And now today, I think he's like 28-1 to be rookie of the year. And when you're Noah Cameron and you have five stars with a 0.85 ERA, people are going to start talking about you. And we know from their plan and pitching wise, they have decided this weekend to skip a Chris Bubich start. And Lorenzen's going to still stay in the rotation and pitch against the White Sox. So they're kind of dragging this thing out another bit. And they know they need to be careful with the innings for Chris Bubich. And this is one way to keep everybody on the big league club for now.
They're trying to hold off the innings for a little bit. We can ask JJ about it in a couple of weeks and see what they're doing with Bubich.
Yeah.
We had mentioned before, how the hell, where are they going to save these innings? And you and I mentioned maybe skipping some starts for him. So I don't hate the plan from the Royals in that end, even though it's pretty clear at this point, and we've made it clear, that Noah Cameron, when it comes down to who starts, Noah Cameron or Michael Lorenzen, the answer is Noah Cameron.
It will have to be.
The real question is, if they skip this start and they get past some of these June off days, do they then go six-man rotation? Something they've at least internally kicked around as a possibility. Here's the truth with Noah Cameron. He deserves, and I'm not saying he wins it or should be the favorite, he deserves real rookie of the year buzz. And he's not getting it yet. 25-1 is not real rookie of the year buzz. He has been sensational, but because he's not the flamethrower Paul Skeens
is. Strikeouts
aren't
there, yeah.
If his name was Paul Skeens and this is the start that it happened, the buzz on him would be, he'd be 5-1, 4-1. But because he's Noah Cameron and he wears sports goggles, people somehow are like holding the man back. As a fellow glasses wearer, I got to say, this is prejudice, and I can't believe it. Yeah, but I'm serious. He really does deserve rookie of the year buzz. And if he has one or two more starts like this in a row that have gone exactly like the other ones, which is pretty much 6 1/3 and 1 or 0 earned runs, then yes, he deserves to fly up the rankings and get talked about in that discussion.
Yeah, no, I think the point you made, I don't disagree with much of what you said. I mean, I think it's very clear. We know awards are narrative driven, and it's basically who's grabbing a lot of headlines, who's getting media attention, name recognition, all that factors in, and he has come out of nowhere. I mean, truly, he has come out of nowhere outside of Kansas City, and even in Kansas City, there's still a lot of people probably that don't know the name. Everybody knows Cags, but there's probably still even people in Kansas City aren't familiar with the name Noah Cameron. So he's got the marketing challenge to it. I also think we looked it up.
He has to create a name for himself in addition to perform.
And as a pitcher, it's a little more challenging in a way. We looked, there's been, since 2020, there's been three pitchers between AL and NL, so obviously 10 times. Basically, we're talking about out of the 10 awards possible, 3 of the 10 have been pitchers. The rest have been position players. Look, if he keeps pitching like this, he will slowly creep further and further up. His next start, if he does this again, he'll go from 28-1 to 12 or 15-1, and he'll have the same odds as Jack Caglione. I still think Jacob Wilson is heavily in the driver's seat to win this award.
He's
played far more than both Noah Cameron and Jack Caglione, and it's not just that. Jacob Wilson continues to rake. He just had a home run yesterday, I believe, as I said, for the A's, and he's now minus 420. In fact, since the call-up news on Monday, Jacob Wilson's actually odds-wise increased his lead. So Noah Cameron's going to eventually get to a point where he has better odds than Jason Dominguez, who at this point is like 26 or 27 years. This guy has been mentioned as a Yankees prospect for 10 years, it feels like. So he will have better odds than him at some point, but it's a massive uphill climb. Never going to hit on a little sprinkle if you want to put $5 or $10 on it at 35-1, or if you had it 50-1 a couple days ago. But
I mean,
it's a long shot.
Just a couple of days ago.
Because here's the thing.
The name, this is the part this is what I really just dislike about narrative awards. Like, Jack Caglione has 13 at-bats. Jack Caglione, I'm not worried about him in any conceivable way, whatever. He's had 13 at-bats. He has a hit, and it's fine. Yep. Noah Cameron has started 5 times, and he's Fernando Valenzuela. I mean, he's pitching like, I mean, no, he is not doing that. But he is one of only 2 pitchers in modern baseball to start their career this way. But because Noah Cameron's not a name. He wasn't a name coming up through the system. He's not a name.
He wasn't even on the board to bet on 3 weeks ago or a month ago, you know, and then he got to 75-1, 50-1, 35-1. And now, as we said, he sits at 28-1. So it's a process. If he keeps pitching like this, don't worry. He will get his love. He will get his attention on a national level. But unfortunately, for him, his margin of error is so much slimmer from an award perspective, from a national narrative perspective. The Royals aren't asking him to pitch for a 0.85 ERA. That's not, he doesn't need to keep doing that. He's obviously far exceeded expectations. But if you want him to be in the awards conversation, unfortunately, Cody, he's actually going to have to keep pitching like this.
Oh, I know. Here's some of the DJ suggestion before we talk some NBA over on Twitch. For the Win said 96.5 the beat. They want that. There was DJ Fantastic from Lance.
Well, if you know, you know on that one.
Somebody texted me Drippy Drew, and I...
Donkey Drew. Right. They said it's another name for Burrow, maybe.
Someone says Beats by Dre Drew, but like Dre, but with a space W. So Beats by Dre.
Dre Drew.
Okay.
If he even attempts that way. D-Nix Mix. There's lots of choices over here.
Someone's D's Nix.
DJ Shanks, they want you to go with the golf angle.
Shanks,
not a compliment to your golf game, but no,
of course,
at least a possibility.
Yeah, there's been some good suggestions for you, Drew.
Unfortunately for you, Gold, you and I, our names would be way easier to create a DJ name.
Yeah, because someone said DJ
Tap and Gold, we'd have no trouble coming up with DJ names.
Yeah, someone said you could go by DJ Shaft, Drew, based on your talk about that.
You would need a custom shaft.
You could go by that. That'd get people's attention.
DJ Balls with a Z.
Oh, all right.
Well, because of the decorating, it's got to have a Z, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's...
You will not decorate my balls.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of choices, man. Keep them coming. We like suggestions. 913-586-7965. From the 913, the fact the Royals have a legit Rookie of the Year candidate, Cy Young and MVP candidate on the same team is insane. It also does speak to like the broader issue currently that should frustrate Royals fans. Not the nitpicky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They should have a better record. Right now, the Royals should be a better team. They have the guy who is currently second in odds, for the MVP, second in odds for American League Rookie of the Year. They have two legit. They have a currently a Cy Young candidate who is very legitimate in Chris Bubich. They have the AL leader in saves. I'm like, what the hell is the problem here exactly? And they got a winning record.
And that's where the offense is frustrating. Yeah, for a while.
They didn't hit for a while.
And hopefully this series against the Cardinals carries over to Chicago. We'll find that out, obviously, tonight when they play the White Sox. All right, we've put it up off long enough. Drew, I'm sure, wanted us to lead the show with it today. His Indiana Pacers.
That's right.
Stole game one, and they've done this now like five times in the postseason.
Final seconds, no fouls to give. Halliburton looking. Halliburton driving. Pulls off, jump shot. It's good! It's good! With 0.3 seconds remaining. Timeout, OKC. Tyrese Halliburton does it again.
Of course, ABC, ESPN, Mike Breen on the
I don't know
call.
How that wasn't a bang call, though. Bang!
Yeah, that's true.
It just felt...
Halliburton has done this like four times in the postseason. He didn't even like his stat line wasn't even all that impressive. He did in the fourth quarter.
He's this 5 for 5 team. This postseason in shots.
Yeah.
Game-winning shots.
This Pacers team continues to do. They made history again. This was from the AP late last night. The Pacers trailed by 9 with 2:52 to play in the play-by-play era, which is the start of 1997. So that's since 97. Teams were 0-121 in NBA Finals when you trail by 7 or more points in the final 3 minutes of fourth quarter or OT. And yet again, the Pacers bucking the trend, and they get it done. They steal that one against the Thunder, and things get a little more interesting
It was like deja vu at that Knicks game in game one. They were down, stormed back, and won the game. They're 5-3, guys, this year when they're down by 15 in the playoffs. 5-3. They have a winning record. When they go down by 15.
You need to get... Where's your Halliburton jersey at this point in time? You're
right. Yeah, jersey, at least.
You got the Pacers shorts, but I feel like you have to have Halliburton gear now.
Correct, yeah. There is going to be a Halley-specific shirt. By the way, so Cody, you mentioned it. He has played almost 200 games less than Kobe Bryant has in the play... than Kobe did in the playoffs. He has more clutch shots in the final 5 seconds.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Kobe historically has some pretty bad numbers in those regards, but like still,
he's third all time, tied with Reggie, and then three behind LeBron. And LeBron has 280 career playoff games. Halley's done 5 and 32 playoff games.
Yeah, he's. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
He is changing his entire narrative that people have about him. Especially if the Pacers were to shock everybody and win this series, he gets himself a ring too,
and a freaking statue.
Yeah,
mind you,
in Indiana for sure. Now this is what the call sounded like worldwide. This was from Korea. Listen to the call of the Halliburton game winner. I love it.
That's a great call. Can I say, Drew, amazing. I am happy for you since you've adopted the Pacers here recently and they're winning.
Okay.
I hope that they do win for you. I was even more joyful, and this can be confirmed via text of the three of us. It made me so happy last night that betting bro. Came.
Cash out bro.
Cash bro. Out bro.
Yeah, we're calling him cash
when,
out bro.
It made me, little hype up video talking about we're going all the way last night. After Halliburton hit the game-winning shot, I saw his cash out is down to 100 and... What did I see?
7,000.
107,000. He had 123 yesterday. He dropped 16K. Yeah. What happens if the Oilers don't win tonight?
No, he has to take it now.
If you were listening yesterday, you know the story, but real quick, five-leg parlay. This kid had the Dodgers, had the Liberty, had the Eagles. They all already cashed their ticket or already took care of part of the parlay. So he needs the Thunder to win the series, win the finals, and he needs the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup. And you guys know the Pacers, of course, are up 1-0. The Oilers are up 1-0 in theirs. And his cash out offer dropped 16,000. And yesterday we were discussing this, like, take the damn cash out. You already cost yourself 16,000. What happens tonight if the Florida Panthers beat the Oilers, which is a real chance? That offer goes below 100,000, right? That goes down to 95.
Oh, especially because that series 90. Is supposed to be tighter. It's tighter. The reason why it didn't drop so much is probably because the Thunder is still favorite, I bet, in
the series.
They're
minus 300 to win the series still. Yeah. That's exactly why it hasn't dropped more. If the NHL one comes into risk, it will go below $100,000. Look, he had 97,000 2 days ago. I'd have taken the cash out then. Fine. He got himself up to 123. My problem is the arrogance of it all. Gold, you remember the clip? You remember the clips we played yesterday? We're going all the way. I know I said I wanted 100. Never. He's just having too much fun with his boys.
F the 100K, he said.
F the 100K. That's why I was rooting against him, and I don't feel bad about it. I am actively rooting. I am a Panthers and Pacers fan the rest of the way. Please, until he cashes out, then I don't really have a dog in the fight.
I'm gonna have to get you a
how long is he gonna wait though? How long is he gonna wait? At what point? Because now he, I'm convinced he's not gonna cash out because he saw 123,000 and now 107 doesn't seem good enough. What happens when it goes to 98,000? Is he gonna be smart enough to realize if he loses tonight? The Panthers beat the Oilers. Does he wait because he's convinced the Thunder are going to win game two and he's convinced it'll bump back up a little bit?
I think you're right.
I want this cash. If this cash out offer goes down to like 70 or 60,000, even though he's going to be furious because he missed out, he still would need to take that. Because then end up getting nothing out of this thing, how sickening. You'll never have another chance in your life.
$13 worth of risk out there.
You'll never have another chance in your life.
Somebody said, what does he win if he wins the whole bet? $270,000.
Yes.
But he's like 22 years old.
No, I'm not
rooting. Trying to tell me $123,000 wasn't life-changing money at like
it's supposed
early
to be.
20s?
Now, the only difference is you're actively rooting for him to lose it all. I'm not. I'm just saying,
yes, that's accurate.
I think this kid, hopefully last night was a little warning sign for him that, hey, this thing can go south on you, buddy.
A little wake-up call.
But I'm not rooting for him to lose all of it because you want to talk about as great of a high as he's on right now, that kid is going to be down in the dumps if he ends up losing it all.
Oh, I would get
I assume
sick.
He'd cash out before
you'd
he
throw
lost
up.
It.
You throw up. Yeah, you
get
throw
sick.
Up.
Real quick, before we get to the trash of the day, there's a lot of times in sports where I think, Chiefs fans, sometimes you might not take a moment to really realize what you're witnessing. I don't know if you guys have felt that or anything like
sure.
that. It feels that way with the Pacers where if you're just watching the games and everybody's reacting and it's nuts, but we might be watching the single greatest postseason run for a single player in NBA history in terms of what he's done. Because like you said, Hallie's made three basically game-winning shots, type of shots, four of them actually, in the playoffs in no moment bigger than the one that he made last night. Like you're witnessing something that you may never see again in terms of them breaking like the 1-182 record, the 1-1414 back from the series against the Bucks. Like this is some historical stuff that you're actually witnessing right now if you're watching these games.
All right, this one takes us back to Jefferson City. We mentioned yesterday. Things look to be heading in the right direction, though, with the stadium bill. It needs to pass out of the Missouri House, and then it would go to the governor's desk, and this would open up potentially 50% of funding for the Chiefs and or Royals to stay in Missouri with a new project. It would at least get Missouri a fighter's chance, in my opinion. So while this was all going on, we mentioned there were some senators that were just wasting everybody's time. And I had mentioned in the past that there's a lot of representatives in Jefferson City that, of course, are from the eastern side of the state, and the majority, I would say, in Jefferson City, tend to be Cardinals fans, not Royals fans.
Yeah.
So this is a real bill that was introduced. I believe the bill got read even on the Senate floor at one point in time. Senate Bill 18. A senator introduced a bill that would officially designate, and this will never pass, but officially designate the Royals as Missouri's subpar professional baseball team. This is a real thing. Quote, the St. Louis Cardinals selected for and shall be known as the official professional baseball team of the state of Missouri. Any other professional baseball team that is presently in or may be located in the future, the state of Missouri shall be rightfully known and designated as a subpar professional baseball team. This is the joke, waste of time stuff that is happening in Jefferson City.
I told you should, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Do you know what? That's
this
right.
Guys being paid by taxpayers to just introduce nonsense.
This bill is also why Missouri, you already lost a football team once. You lost the Rams. Clearly, you're fine with one or both teams leaving and just leaving you with the Cardinals and Blues. Like that, this is dumb. Your state losing a team, take your fandom rivalry stuff aside, Cardinals versus Royals. If you're a senator in the state of Missouri, while you might represent, I don't know where this senator, if he represents St. Charles, St. Louis area, I don't know. Either way, like for your state, you clowning on one of the teams and potentially losing them is not good for your state. So it's just dumb. Like, this is a real bill that was introduced, Senate Bill 18. You can look it up.
I guess here's the other question.
Send
this to any of the people who recently have tried to claim in St. Louis, we don't even care about the Royals. I haven't seen anybody from Kansas City sending a resolution to deem the Royals the only team that matters in the state. Also, what's your threat here? You got more World Series. You've done more winning. You've been the more successful franchise. Why do you need to deem
unserious,
them?
Unserious people is what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. And they already lost their football team. This is a great trash of the day because it's loser behavior.
Complete trash. Yeah, it's complete trash.
It's an unnecessary shot. Also, yeah, to your point, would you prefer just like the least amount of professional sports teams available in your state as possible? You just want to be like Montana? You want to see how few professional sports teams you can have in
Shout
one state?
Shout out to Montana.
Jeez. I assume they don't have any of the four majors.
Shout out to Montana.
It's a pretty empty state, turns out, from a population density standpoint. But yeah, I just don't understand this notion of like, let's tear down the ones on the other side just to score some like quick political
That's
points.
What I said. Yeah,
we got you.
Get a few likes on Twitter as a politician. Congratulations. Congrats.
I guess. But again, I genuinely think I should be allowed to call for impeachment, or I think the state should be allowed to fine you. I think you should like lose your salary for a month. If you introduce anything that is a total waste of everyone's time, like can't get more than, let's say, you got to get at least 20%, 30% of the vote for this thing. If you're just introducing stuff to introduce it, I should be allowed to like come after your job for it because it's a ridiculous waste of my time.
He's a state senator, District 2, which is part of St. Charles County, which is right outside, of course, right there in the St. Louis area. But what a joke.
Just bored.
Is it Nick Schroer? I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Nick. I mean, yeah, get some more vowels in your name too. Earlier, preferably. Schroer. It just sounds like you got a mouth.
His name now?
He's got like a mouthful of marbles. Schroer. Like, I mean, who can even pronounce this thing?
You're saying he needs to change his last name.
You've lost a football team twice already.
Mm. Yeah, that is the rich part about like trying to dunk it. Like, we're the best baseball team. Like, okay. Relax.
Someone says we should rename the segment to the St. Louis of the day. That's also a good suggestion. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs red half hour, the player with the most to prove, and we'll get back into the punt return situation and who could actually be returning kicks in 20.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
25. That's right. It is time for the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder at allweatherdecks.net.
Yeah, coming up in about a half hour as well, Nate Taylor. We'll be talking some Chiefs football. We'll also talk some Royals with Nate, too. We know he's a big Royals fan as
you
well.
You think he's seen Cags yet, or is he waiting for Tuesday? You don't think he drove to St. Louis?
I don't know. He wasn't in St.
Chicago.
Louis.
He's got a newborn baby.
Yeah, but maybe he'll be out of the K next week. But I'm sure he's watched some of the games here in St. Louis and obviously getting set for a series in Chicago against the White Sox. So, yeah, Nate Taylor going to join us in about a half hour or so. Also, it's a fan club Friday. So, on the 1 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley, our guy, will be in studio with us. We got a new beer to try from the folks over at Boulevard. Looking
S'mores
forward to that.
Based.
That's 2 weeks in a row. We've got something new to try, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I do like that.
Last week, it was the Quiddentime beer from Quick Trip.
And, I also heard of a new one we got to try in a couple of weeks, specifically for our guy, Drew.
Oh,
yesterday,
is it a Pacers
or a week ago,
beer?
It's
Indiana
not a Pacers beer.
Beer.
It's a thing I actually
it's
know
called
he's
What
liked.
The Halley, but there's some like, there's it's a beer.
Yeah. The entire time Drew's worked here, I'm confident he's been a fan of, unlike the Pacers stuff where I'm unsure. I know he's been a fan of this the entire time he's been a producer of this show. They have announced a hard Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, Drew. That is. That Drew, that is exactly what... for those that know, Drew has a 32-plus ounce Mountain Dew Code Red every morning, it looks like.
I've got one right here.
Yeah. So we've got to try that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's one of those things that's just going to... It's not going to ruin Code Red for me, but it's just... It's going to taste
I think you're
going to
love it.
Gross.
Now, it strikes me as one that you would have one and you wouldn't want to have a second because it's too... like.
Well, and I want to get the standard.
Whatever, yeah.
Well, because like the mixed pack that they serve it in, I'm going to try to just get a six of the Code Red. They have, it's a four pack of just regular Mountain Dew. They're all like hard seltzers.
All right.
Live Wire, which appears to be like an orange-based one. Baja Blast.
Yeah,
Code
we've all
Red.
Heard that one.
So,
the Baja
so
Blast,
we can have it. So you're saying between the three of us and whoever we have as a guest, we can try the hard Mountain Dew then.
Mm-hmm. They also have a watermelon one, I guess.
We'll have to do that at some point over the next couple of weeks or whenever it gets released. I don't know. You said it's coming out soon?
I think it's released now.
Kramer texted me yesterday and said, hey, man, did you see the hard Code Red? Is that
we're going to have to do this next week, maybe. Maybe next Friday if everybody's here.
I know you're
you won't, Cody won't be here next Friday, I don't think. Aren't you out of town? Or is that the following week?
It's the 13th.
That's the following week.
So we can do it next Friday. Okay, we can do it next Friday.
We can do it next Friday. Then I head to Texas for Dance.
Dance Dad. 2 weeks.
Dance Dad.
2 weeks to Dance Dad.
Really, my Dance Dad obligations are keeping Desmond entertained, which means
well, you told us the last time. Let's hope things go better for you.
I got to try to get my hands on it. I think I need to try to maybe, I feel like as a reward for, he's got to go spend 10 days or, you know, like a week and a half in Texas. Mm. We spent a lot of time in like a gym waiting for like a dance to occur. I feel like I want to try to get my hands on a Nintendo Switch 2, but I didn't I pre-ordered one, but I wasn't on the initial pre-order list.
I didn't know. Maybe you
should have like,
maybe you wanted me to text you late at night, but I saw last night Nintendo Switch 2 was available at Target. It was like midnight and they had online only. And I had it in my cart, and then I made a better financial decision and said, you know what? I don't need to spend $570 on this thing. So I didn't.
You should have bought it and gave it to me. I could have paid you for it.
I didn't know. And I knew you were on a list to get one, so I didn't know, like, if...
They have not given me permission to buy it yet.
If it was earlier in the day, I would have texted you, like, hey, you can just hop on a Target. Well, anyway, long story short, by the time we woke up today, they're already out again at Target, so...
If anyone's seen them, I've seen like maybe Costco's had a bunch of them, but I had to get stuff at Costco yesterday and all they had was the Pro 2 controller, not the actual Nintendo Switch 2. Also, the other, it's like, really, there's only like 5 games for it. So it's just like, he'll be able to play all of his normal games in Mario Kart until, I don't know, maybe you get him like the Donkey Kong game, but the games are so expensive. Oh, the games are so expensive.
Are they all $80?
$70 or $80.
Okay. I think it's been misleading. Everybody's acting like every game is $90. Every game is not $90.
It's just the Mario Kart World
one. It's just that World one, which people are buying the bundle that includes the game anyway. But I don't know. I might this weekend. My nephew's just got there, so I might. I don't know. I might at least go check it out.
Might break on some Mario Kart.
Pop over there and see what the fuss is all about when it comes to the Switch 2.
I love a good Mario Kart game. I don't know how I'm going to feel about the open world aspect of it, but
it's like
I love
you can fly or ride a UFO. I saw somebody
I did see that too. I think there's just a lot of extra elements in the game that
seems
didn't exist
like it,
before.
Yeah.
I loved Mario Kart 64. It's still one of my favorite games of all time. Specifically the 64 one. The Super Nintendo one stinks, but outside of that, they just done nothing but hits after that. So
yeah.
If you guys see one around town today, hit me up on Twitter, at CodyBTab. Let me know where you've seen them.
Someone from the text line from the 913 says, Target had a bunch sitting on the shelf yesterday, waiting to get picked up.
Dang.
Really?
Does Walmart have them?
People were lined up at Best Buy and GameStop or whatever yesterday, 2 days ago or a day
GameStop
ago.
Had a huge problem. There was like one GameStop that was putting the receipt on the box.
Yes.
They were stapling the receipt on the box, and it put a dent in every screen. It scratched the top.
Oh, my God. See what
GameStop, that dude got fired, I bet.
Now, GameStop's made it right. They've already worked on plans to get people. It was at one location. In fairness to the one employee who, obviously, you shouldn't have stapled the top of the box, but
made an innocent mistake.
How did this staple penetrate the screen enough? Like, you have a staple receipt. The box, I would presume there's some type of...
down.
I assume there's something covering the screen and the switch when you open the box.
I think so, too, yeah.
And the staple went all the way... I mean, what is this guy doing?
Must have been one of those old school ones, like a lever to staple.
From now on, whenever that guy uses or girl uses a stapler, they're just going to be scarred from now on. Whenever
GameStop
they use a
had a funny tweet, though, I'll give them credit because they've made it right. They've taken care of the customers, but
so they don't have to feel bad about it.
But they sent out a humorous tweet. Let me get real quick, then we'll talk some Chiefs, I promise. But I was going to see the GameStop if I can pull the exact tweet they sent in regards to the problems.
I saw they had some on the shelves, but I briefly went looking yesterday and didn't get any luck.
We've addressed a unique case of staples damaging Switch 2 screens. Isolated to one store. Replacements been offered. Staplers have been confiscated.
For now, we are taping the receipts to the boxes.
Anyway, good luck to those of you that are trying to find Nintendo Switch 2s in the area. And maybe you got to get lucky like at midnight and check one of the websites, Target or something, like people did last night. Anyway.
I'll keep my eyes peeled, you know?
Yeah.
Try to help out my kid.
The folks over at Arrowhead Pride were going through maybe some of the players that have the most to prove this upcoming season and as we head into training camp here before we know it.
I always think that's kind of an interesting way to look at a team because, like, you and I both know that one guy that we've talked about on the show a lot who would be on that list is... Felix Anudike Uzama. It's not meant to be like, oh, he's the only guy who has something to prove. He's not. There are certainly other guys who have something to prove on this team. And I thought, okay, let's have the little off-season exercise. Let's talk about the players who have the most to prove. The article was actually written by former 96.5, well, technically he was a 610 employee, Brandon Kiley. Here are the players that he had mentioned across the board. He mentioned Isaiah Pacheco, honorable mention, as the guy just off his board of the top five most to prove on there. I actually agree with that assessment. If he is to get any kind of contract extension from this team or get at least medium-sized running back contract from another, he's going to have to prove that he can stay healthy for an entire year and put up the kind of numbers he did just 2 days ago. Here are the five guys he mentioned that I want to see if we agree with it. They're Hollywood Brown,
okay,
Jalen Watson, and these are in order. He ranks them this way. Charles Omenihu, Brian Cook, and number one, Felix Anudike Uzama.
Yeah.
The interesting part about this is his is very much, I would say, heavy in the contract year will get you paid department. Charles Omenihu, Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, Jalen Watson, all guys who are coming to the end of their contracts and need to actually earn something. I think that Kingsley would be in my top five, no question, because he is likely to be a starter at left guard, and he's got to prove that he can actually do that job. Forget the left tackle stuff.
Yeah.
He needs to prove to me he deserves to be on the starting offensive line at all. That is, to me, is the biggest miss on this list.
So I'm with you. Kingsley would be obviously a player listed that has the most to prove. I agree with two of the names for sure, though, on the list from Arrowhead Pride, though, and that is number one, contract year sure is part of it, but for Hollywood Brown, prove that you can stay healthy. Can you be available, even if it's not all 18? Can you be available for 15? Can you be available for 14? Can you be that
enough
available
of the season
and put yourself in a position to showcase why everybody, you know, got excited about you when you were signed, you know, and why this offense with the idea of having you and Worthy and Rice on the field at the same time, people were excited about. So I think Hollywood Brown would be very high on my list, not just because he could get himself a nice payday.
Just where his contract and
show that
career's
going
to go.
Show you can stay healthy. And then the other one, I mean, Charles Omenihu is very similar to that. It's not only a contract year. We know he thought he was worth more in the market. The market said, no, you're not. He has been so effective when he's on the field. It's not a question about, can Charles Omenihu be effective in this system? We've seen it. He stands out on this defense when he's on the field. But same thing. Can he stay healthy? He had the unfortunate ACL injury a couple years ago that cost him much of last year. And then we all know he had the personal issues off the field, some legal trouble prior to that that resulted in, what was it, a 6-game suspension or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was six.
Or 3-6, whatever.
I think it was
but when
six.
He's on the field, he's been dominant. So for him, it's, hey, you know, don't have any issues and stay healthy as well. But I'm not worried about his performance. Hollywood Brown, it's stay healthy and also can you put together the numbers? I feel like with Omenihu, if he's on the field, I know the numbers are coming for Charles Omenihu because he's been that good when he's been out there.
In a weird way, I don't feel like Omenihu has to prove anything to me. I think I kind of got a good sense of who he is when he plays.
Yeah,
proving you can stay on the field, I'm not saying that's not any kind of aspect in it. It certainly is a little bit of something, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like the key diagnosing factor I'm looking for. Hollywood Brown is more than like, can you be on the field at all? He's been a career injury guy, and he's never put up. He had a 1,000-yard season 4 or 5 years ago, and to this point, he has never really turned into that. Charles Omenihu at least has proven to me when he's on the field, he's a productive NFL player, and that's why I at least have an attention. I think Kingsley would be my number one, and I think Brian Cook would actually be kind of high on my list. You don't want to do safeties because I think Jaden Hicks is breathing down his neck, so it's like he doesn't play corner the way Shamari Connor does, so Brian Cook's going to keep the safety job the entire year. He's going to have to do that. It's funny about Jalen Watson is I almost feel these guys are just lumped into one thing. Nazi Johnson, Joshua Williams, and Jalen Watson all have the same amount to prove to me. Can any of you guys be the three? Because they just signed Christian Fulton, so I know I got a two. Right. I got Trent McDuffie, so I got a one. I don't really
and
care
the rookie,
how
Noel
you
Williams, yeah. We'll see.
And maybe it's him. Can any of you guys stave off Noel Williams long enough to actually hold on to the job? Last year before the season, it felt like they really, really, really wanted Nazi to get the job. He got dinged up a little bit, lost it out, and then because Jalen Watson wasn't healthy enough for a while, they were on Joshua Williams for a little bit, who didn't do a very good job, so then they were back on Jalen Watson. Those guys just feel lumped in together to me. Not even like as an individual player with something to prove. Just, I'd like one of them to step up.
913-586-7965. Someone from the 816 mentioned, hey, what about Sky Moore? He should be on that list. I get what you're saying. My only pushback would be, unfortunately for him, and like, I think we just kind of know, right? Like, last year was the proof to me that you know, you can still be potentially what people drafted you for, what the Chiefs drafted you for. I think he's at a point, guys, where he's just lucky to make a football team.
Yeah, prove to me what? I can make the 53?
I also don't think he's making the team. That's the other part.
But Matt Ariza, he's got punter competition. Does he need to prove he can put it inside the 20?
Sure. We'll see. If Cody, will you join him on his workout at training camp this go-around if he's out there after practice?
He works hard, you know? We saw him out there.
He definitely does.
I think there's levels to this.
Yeah, Sky's just at a point where, like, most to prove, no, I don't put him on the list because He's not even in that conversation of long-term consideration anymore. I truly don't think he's going to make the team. So,
would you, because I think there's levels to the conversation, and I know that he's a good player. We know this, but in terms of pay, in terms of all these things, George Karlaftis, not that he has the most to prove, but I think in terms of, hey, you want a payday, you need to get to a certain sack. Like if he has 5.5 or 6.5 sacks, I don't know if you consider that most to prove, but in terms of getting an extension, getting the payday you think you're deserving of, you have to, you know, show up with the goods again.
If it's I almost feel like I can make a stronger argument for Kelce for this year. His career. He's got nothing to prove for his career.
I think Karlaftis has already shown that he's going to have a long NFL career and be an effective pass rusher. What you're saying is to take it to the next level, become a star, get the massive payday.
I don't know if that
he's
belongs
proven a
in
lot.
This. I don't know if it belongs.
He's proven
in this
he's an NFL pass rusher
for
and all
sure,
that.
100% a starter. Yes,
his is more of the cliche, like truly contract year. Go out and get yourself paid. Go out and have an unbelievable best year of your career type of thing. Karloff has already proven that he's an NFL edge rusher and one of the better ones in the league.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we ranked him out 1 through 53. He's not 53. He's probably somewhere in the middle, 25, 26.
He's certainly not in the top 10.
He's not he's not Patrick Mahomes, who's 53, right? He's not Creed Humphrey, who might be 52. It's not like the guys who end up being in there. It's not that he has nothing to prove. It's just there's some guys who I think have to even prove they deserve their spot. Like Leo Chanel might be on the list, right? Prove that you deserve more playing time. You've certainly got plenty of it. But now that there's, you know, like you've got to earn even more time on the field this year and, you know, prove that you're going to be one of those guys who gets a contract after.
What is this? I see, Drew, you were typing something in the rundown. You said you think Patrick Mahomes has the most to prove still this year. Is that right? To prove he's still better than Joe Burrow? I saw you type that one in. You snuck that one in on us.
Did I? I thought you guys were going to start like, what? Oh, no, this guy over here. As soon as I said, I think there's levels to this, I thought you were going to be like, oh, no, here we go. But
no, I understand.
I was never going to mention the name Patrick Mahomes in this conversation.
He's 53 on the
correct.
List.
I agree with you.
It's a 90-man roster, he's 90. Whatever the number of players you want to put it out to, he's last.
I agree.
He's right last. After him.
Creed Humphrey.
I was going to say Chris Jones, but yeah, that works.
Chris Jones, yeah.
Those are 51, those, 52, and 53.
And Bucker, yeah, Bucker's like 50 or 49, yeah.
Yeah, like
most to prove.
That's pretty strong.
I actually like this one.
Trey Smith is probably 49.
I actually think this is a really good suggestion on the text line, in all seriousness. They said, what about Noah Gray in this convo? Is he just what he is?
Like, to prove that he can be like a number one?
He was effective last year. He got a contract extension. He would be a fine number one in this league for most teams, right? What typically tight ends are. I think that the tough spot for Noah Gray is, and we were just talking yesterday about expectations change as sports fans based on what we've seen a player or an organization accomplish. And so because of how great Travis Kelce has been and is, and even in Chiefs history, you go back to Tony Gonzalez, Noah Gray could be a really fine tight end post Travis Kelce. But if he's not one of the best, people are going to not think he's any good, because we're now used to seeing elite level tight end play twice in this franchise's history over the last 25 years. One's already a Hall of Famer, yeah. But two, you know, Hall of Fame tight ends. One's going to be the greatest of all time. And so even if Noah Gray ended up being like the 10th best tight end in the league for a given season in 2 years, people are going to act like it's not, you know what I mean?
It's just
so
hard.
That's what's tough for him now.
We've mentioned this.
I think he's an average tight end if he was a number one.
But every year, the average tight end in the league has like 602 receiving yards. Yeah. Like maybe. That might actually be generous, at least on that end. So like if you get a 650 yard tight end, you're doing just about as well as almost anyone in the league. Sure, you want your Brock Bowers or your next Travis Kelce. And as an organization, the fact that the Chiefs have two of the three, four greatest tight ends of all time probably speaks for its own, at least on that end. But like, yeah, it's...
Well, and you're even able to argue now the fact that the way the Chiefs are constructing their roster, they don't need that star tight end because of the wide receiver room that they currently have with Worthy and Rice, and who knows how Royals is going to turn out, obviously, with Hollywood too. But you save yourself having to overextend yourself money-wise at the tight end position if you just have Noah Gray, which is good enough.
I got to say, it's fairly obvious they're drafting Royals, in my opinion, to replace the Juju Hollywood Brown absences after this
Seems
year.
Seems like it.
It always felt like it was a one-year thing with Hollywood anyway. He ended up getting hurt, so there weren't a lot of other teams calling. So it ended up making sense trying to run back your plan, which they did. And it wasn't a good wide receiver draft class, which certainly probably added to the desire to bring him back. But yeah, there are a few different guys certainly on the list. We'd mentioned Worthy earlier. The fact that Dave Tobe's still mentioning him in the punt return game. I told you, man, if it's one-offs, I'm interested. I think who I'd like to see win that job is Jalen Royals. Like, that's who I'd like to see win it. Because right now, Nico Remigio, when you start thinking about the wide receivers, depending, where's he on this roster? We already know five of the wide receivers, don't we? I think Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals, who will be on the roster. Am I missing somebody?
Juju.
And
probably.
Juju. I'd be surprised. It's
We're talking about really one spot, the very back end of it, where you're Remigio, I guess Justin Ross, Sky, and I'm missing one other name. That's kind of it. And this, Tyquan Thornton.
That we even joked about that one day.
I won't say
And the reason
today.
Why, you know, you're good. It's just, we're talking about the last spot in the wide receiver room. So even if he has a good camp and makes the roster, how many snaps is the guy getting in a given week? If he's even active on game day, that's all we're saying. When when people get excited, like, oh, Tyquan Thornton looks good. Good for him. Great. Maybe he makes the roster. But if you're the sixth receiver, I mean, you're limited on how many opportunities you're going to get to help the team. That's why we don't need to act like, oh my gosh, look out, they got another secret weapon. The dude's going to maybe be active for 12 games.
This is kind of why I want Royals to win the punt return job, is that I like players, and they did this with Tyreek Hill in his rookie year. I'm not saying Jalen Royals Tyreek Hill, I'm just saying this is how they handle it. They did it with Sky Moore in his rookie year, even though he probably should not have been returning punts. It's a way of keeping a young player engaged when we don't have much for you in the offense. Jalen Royals is wide receiver, like he is receiving option behind 8 players on the roster, at least one running back, 2 tight ends, 5 wide receivers. So at best, he's 8. Like, and that's like a generous notion if there's not 2 running backs.
At least to start in week 1, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, look, things change, certainly.
Injuries.
And if you're a star, able to jump injuries. By the time of the
Yeah. There's a million things you can do in order to, like, so keep him engaged. Find ways to do it. He can be your new, and like, it's for the same reasons. Like, if he's speedy, he can be your end-around guy. I don't need Xavier Worthy doing anything but running routes. Like, and I know that it's small and occasional. If it's like one-off punt returns, I don't really care. Like, I like when they use him as like a weapon of like, well, they don't have as much tape on this guy. Good luck knowing his moves. That's fine. But like, I just don't want him being full-time punt returner. I don't feel like anyone else in the league really uses their wide receiver.
Worthy won't end up being the full-time punt returner, but I'm totally fine with him having opportunities back there as a punt returner based off of that, especially if Rice is available and Hollywood Brown is staying healthy. Now, if you get down to where you're already down Brown or you're down Rice, then it's a little bit different.
Yeah, then, well, we know. That's the good news on the Chiefs is Dave Tobes talked about this before. They've had players who just, like, graduate. It'd be like, oh, Brian Cook's pretty much the full-time safety. Now it's like, yeah, well, no more special teams for you, man. You got a full-time job to do on defense. So a lot of this, I just wonder if they're entertaining that. Does that mean that they think Xavier Worthy's not taking a step back, but not increasing his target share
if those two guys, his
target share is going down because of Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice and the other guys who are coming back into the fold? I kind of feel like it's that cold. They just think like his target share is going to be down, so let's keep him engaged and let's give him a million jobs to do because we
utilize that skill set. Yeah, let's utilize the speed that he clearly has heading into year 2. Although he's not a rookie anymore, although he joked, what was it, last week, that the guys in the locker room still treating him like he's a rookie, at least at this
point. I feel
like
until you play game 2, is it tough? Like, you haven't played a new season yet, so technically
until,
you haven't graduated.
Until week 1 in Brazil, then he's still a rookie.
Yeah, I think that might be the case.
Maybe training camp, you graduate through training camp.
I can't believe the Chiefs' schedule is going to be all wackadoo again this year. Their first game of the year is on a Friday night in Brazil. Andy's got to hate it. There's no other.
Of course.
Did Andy talk the other day, Drew?
No, he never ended up talking, did he?
Oh, okay.
I think that was the last thing we were waiting.
I do not believe he did, no.
Every once in a while, we get like, Andy Reid will speak today. And we're like, okay. And then he didn't. I was like, oh, maybe he's busy.
I think next Thursday, maybe.
Okay.
I think next Thursday might be
You know what? Andy probably shouldn't have to talk until mandatory, I'll say. It wasn't mandatory. That was optional stuff last week, right? That was all voluntary.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, mandatory is what, the 17th through the 19th, I think? Something like that?
Good to Aaron Rodgers, you know, to finally sign that contract to show up for the mandatory part of camps.
I mean.
Yeah, good for Aaron.
He wouldn't be the first veteran quarterback to do it. The difference is he just talked about it for so long. Otherwise, we've seen quarterbacks wait until training camp to show up. It's just he, on a semi-weekly basis, was like waiting for people.
I just think you'd want, even at 41, if you're going into a new offense and a new division and a new system, why wouldn't you want the most amount of reps you could get in that system in order to succeed?
That's because he's got DK. He just throws him the ball up in the air.
In fairness, he really hasn't missed much of anything yet.
Just go get it, man.
He really, I mean, what has he missed?
I don't know.
I know we talk about, like, it's annoying to dragging it out, but because that it's just more the headlines for months. But in terms of football, what has he missed?
Haven't the Steelers been in rumors, too, to bring in another wide receiver, like 2 or 3?
Yeah, but I don't know where they're getting them from.
Who?
The Steelers. I mean, I've seen names popped around for the Steelers.
The rumors, like, they were trading for, like, Jonnu Smith or something, the tight end from the Dolphins, okay. I think they were linked to him. I don't know what are the wide receivers available on the market.
I saw something like in terms of trading, like the giving up a late pick for, I don't know, like a Van Jefferson or somebody like that.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a wide receiver, too. That's a generous usage of the word wide receiver.
Somebody else. Hey, you know, on the Steelers roster, he might be wide receiver, too. Because it's DK and...
Put some respect on Calvin Austin the III's name, you know?
I mean, it's DK and Calvin Austin at this
I don't even
rate.
Know if that's the third guy. I don't know who finished. Fryer
because they waited to trade Pickens until after the draft was over with, which was a choice.
Yeah, I think they just knew that they were only going to get so much done.
Robert Woods also there.
Oh, okay.
That's a solid
Robert
option.
Robert Woods. Scotty Miller. Roman Wilson, who was a rookie last year.
That's a bad wide receiver unit.
And a guy named Montana Craig Lemonius. Yeah.
Hey, what?
I'm going to have to see.
That
where
is an
did he go to school?
Incredible name.
Montana?
Yeah. It's on their depth chart. Way down the depth chart.
Hang on.
Montana Craig Lemonius.
There's not like the sixth after that or something? The fourth?
It has to be.
Montana Craig Lemonius.
Okay. So for some reason on his tape, it says Montana Lemonius Craig, but you just said Montana Craig Lemonius.
Maybe it's Lemonius Craig. Either way,
what his name is. It looks like he went to Arizona.
Okay. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Nate Taylor from The Athletic is going to join us in the studio. We'll talk some Chiefs football. We'll also mix in some Royals as we'll get Nate's perspective on CAGs as well. Next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.